You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you will, turn with me tonight to Genesis 1. Genesis, the first chapter. I want to teach on something. I haven't taught on this in quite a few years, actually. The subject, I'm sure, but not these scriptures, per se. I want to minister along the lines of God's original intent, God's purpose in your life, in this earth, for us. Not necessarily the total plan of God for our life, because that would entail a lot. Of course, with being saved, going to heaven, living forever, we know that. But God's plan and intent in everything that He made, if you'll look at it, just simply verse by verse, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, you'll find that God always makes things, creates things, births things to increase and to multiply. He has no other intent other than, you know, other than, of course, when you talk about being saved, that's multiplication, that's blessing, that's increase, amen? When you talk about going to heaven, there's no sickness and disease in heaven. Whatever has happened between when God made the earth and what's going on now and what's going to happen in heaven, God's plan hadn't changed, His intent hadn't changed, His will hadn't changed. It was God's will for you to be full of joy. Jesus even came to restore joy. And He came to give you His joy. He came to give you peace. He wanted you to have peace. He came to bring healing. He did that. He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils. Are you with me? He came to restore something that had been lost or taken away, something that had messed up or interfered with God's plan or God's intent. It was always God's intent that legs walk and eyes see. And so when Jesus came across a blind man, He'd heal them so their eyes could see, because that's what eyes were made to do. They were made to see. And a cripple, He'd heal their legs because legs were made to walk. They weren't made to be crippled. They were made to walk. Hello. And you know, whether a person even believes in healing or miracles, signs, and wonders, they or not, and I don't know how you couldn't and believe the Bible, but even if you didn't believe that, you cannot deny the fact that when we get to heaven, there's none of that in heaven. So evidently, unless God's changed His mind temporarily, if that's the case and it's His will for that to happen now, then He must be changing His mind again when we get to heaven. In other words, He had one idea of the way it should be. Then He changed His mind. Now everybody's sick and bad things happen and so on and so forth. And then we get to heaven, He'll change His mind back. Well, no, I don't believe that's the case. In fact, if you'll study the Bible, you'll find out that it's not God that's the problem. It's not God that brought the sickness and the disease and the pain and the destruction and the death that we see in the earth. The Bible says that's a result of sin. Not necessarily yours, but Adam. When Adam sinned, he brought death into the world. By man came death, and by man comes the resurrection of the dead. Oh, hallelujah. So when God makes something, He makes it with the intent that it's blessed, that it be blessed, that it increase, that it's fruitful, that it multiplies. That's His will. That's what He wants. Now, that's also His command. That's what He commands things to do. And so it's up to us to line up and obey the command. Often we think of blessing. Everybody put your thinking caps on here because we're going to go through the scriptures. And I won't change your thinking. We need to get the right concept here because we fight this in our head. You know, we get a little blessed and God blesses us and we almost feel guilty about it, like we shouldn't be blessed, you know, or we shouldn't have something, or you know, when God blesses us financially, we feel like, oh, that's bad, I shouldn't have that. And no, God wants to bless us. In fact, God wants us as Christians, as believers, to be blessed so we can help others. Amen. Amen. And we ought to give to the poor. We know that. God doesn't want the poor to stay poor. Hello. He wants them to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to have peace, not be in depression. He wants you healed, not sick, and so on and so forth. But that's not just a promise. That's not just something God offers, per se. But it's actually what He wills or desires or even commands us to do. And sometimes we're not obeying. We're not pursuing. We're just not asking. We're not lining up. Just like God said, love. We don't always love, but we should. We're supposed to. It's His will. He says, forgive. We don't always do it, but it is His will. And you know what? We can do it because He said it. And when He says, be blessed, well, that requires us to do something. He's not just saying abstractly think about it, but go out there and pursue it. Work. Pay your bills. Budget. Use wisdom. Invest if that's the case. You know, prosper. Go prosper. Hello? So we line ourselves up with not just a promise, but really what His will is, what He desires for us to be or to do. Now, notice this. Everybody found Genesis 1?
Amen.
Good place to start. Amen?
Yes.
When God created everything, of course, He created everything by speaking, and He spoke things into existence. And notice what it says here in the 21st verse. We'll just start there. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Everything God made was good. He didn't make anything bad. He made everything good. In other words, the fish swam and the birds flew. They didn't have broken wings, and the dolphins didn't have broken flippers. Hello. Everything He made was good. Whatever He made it for, it did it. He made it good. He made it right. That was His original intent. That's always going to be His intention. That's His intent in heaven. When you get to heaven, everything works. Everything functions. Everything's right. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no death. There's no dying. The former things pass away. All things become new. Hallelujah. The way God started is the way God's going to finish it, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Oh, there's been a change. There's been an intrusion. There's been something that's messed up what God willed, but that wasn't God that did that. God didn't change. Sin brought the death and destruction. Hello. And sometimes we don't pursue what God originally intended, and so we bring it on ourselves even sometimes. But God's intent was plain, and it says here, 22nd verse, and God blessed them what? Them fishes and them fowls.
Amen.
The fish and the fowl. Mm-hmm. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Oh, hallelujah.
Wow.
You say, well, that's a wonderful blessing. Well, it is, and it's also a command. Now, see, we miss that part sometimes. We think, well, I don't mind if God bless me if He wants to. Well, He is telling us to go out and be blessed.
Yes, He is.
Woo! That means we got to line ourselves up. We got to get in line with this thing. We need to pursue this will, the will of God. Why? Because that's His will. That's what He wants. That's what He desires. That's His original intent. And He says here to the fish and the fowl, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Now look at the 28th verse. This is about man. Let's back up 26th verse. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them, mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea. That means when you go fishing, you ought to catch a lot of fish.
Amen.
And there's good scripture to stand on. You can take that rod and reel and hold that up. That's your dominion stick. And take authority over the fish of that pond or that sea or wherever you are. Okay, stay with me. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds there, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You got dominion over the creeps. Hallelujah. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female created them. 28th verse. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves in the earth. So He told the fish and the fowl to be fruitful and multiply. He told mankind to be fruitful and multiply. Everybody say, be fruitful.
Be fruitful.
Okay. That's not just being fruitful and having kids. Multiply, of course, would be having kids. But to be fruitful, prosper.
Yeah.
Be blessed. That's God's will. It's not sinful to prosper. It's the will of God to prosper. Now, I know that's a relative term. We're not all going to prosper the same. We all come from different walks of life, different backgrounds, and we start with different material to work with. But we ought to believe in the name of Jesus where we are that God will bless us and that He will prosper us. Are you with me? And we ought to pursue it. And if we're working on a job, we ought to be on time on that job. We ought to do the best job we can do while we're on that job. Are you with me? Hello. And if we have investments, we ought to pray over those. If we have a business, we ought to pray over that. We ought to believe God to bless that thing. Work hard and make it happen. Because we're not just asking God to help us. We're fulfilling His will for our lives. We're actually obeying His command to be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
Woo. Well, turn over to the 8th chapter. Genesis 8. This is after the flood. You know, the flood of Noah. You know, Noah and the ark and... You know the story. It says here in the 8th chapter, 15th verse, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So his will hadn't changed after the flood took place, but after the flood, his will's still the same. His original intent's still the same. What is it? Be fruitful and multiply. That's what he says to the animals. That's what he says to the birds here. He hadn't changed. He's still the same. He's the Lord God. He changes not.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
And he didn't say, go out there and be crippled. Go out there and don't have offspring. Go out there and die out. No, he said, be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
Be blessed. Ooh, hallelujah. 9th chapter, 1st verse. While you're there. So God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. There he is talking to mankind again. What does he tell them? Same thing he told Adam. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because God doesn't change his mind.
Amen.
And I'm glad Noah and his sons were fruitful and multiplied. I'm glad they didn't die out because they were it.
Yeah.
They populated the whole earth. Are you with me after the flood? And because they obeyed God's command, and they were blessed, and they prospered, and they were fruitful and multiplied. You and I are here today, and I'm able to preach this message to you. Isn't that wonderful? Going down to the 7th verse of the 9th chapter. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. You know, if you're going to get on God's economy, then you're going to have to think multiplication. You can't think just addition. God's not into addition, He's into multiplication. You have to think in agricultural terms, like seeds, how they multiply. And when God talks about harvest, He's talking about multiplication. You know, we're thinking way too low in our lives as to what God can do in our lives and what God can do in a church and what God can do in a city. We've got to expand our capacity to believe. And that's vitally important. That's what teaching does. That's what going through the Scripture over and over and over, connecting the dots do. It expands our thinking. It expands our capacity to believe. You can't believe above what you know. And you can't believe above what you're thinking, your concepts, and your attitudes about God. Your attitude and your concept of God has got to be scriptural. I mean, it needs to be scriptural from Genesis to the maps. Are you with me? Because it affects your praying, it affects your believing, and it affects your destiny. And the idea that God, for some reason, is helping us one day, hurting us another day, giving us good things one day, taking them back away the next day, that God is healing us one day, making us sick the next day, that's a very schizophrenic God or bipolar God and not the God of the Bible. And that'll hurt you when you're believing God, trying to believe and praying over your business, over your marriage, over your family, over your body. And you know what? You got to expand your capacity to believe. You got to get that attitude out of your thinking. And sometimes those old attitudes die hard. I mean, sometimes they're religious attitudes that we picked up in church, even. That there's just we just don't need to prosper, that God wants us poor for some reason. Well, you can't reach people around the world by being poor. And you don't get on TV and reach people with the gospel by being poor. And you don't build buildings by being poor. Now, can you witness? Sure you can. You could be a witness and you can share your faith without any money at all. But you're very limited in how far you can go with it.
Amen.
Hello. And you know what? You most of your life you're dependent on others to help you and to keep you going if you're poor.
Right.
Not a sin to be poor, stay with me. But it sure is a sin to want to stay there. But see, far from being a sin to want to prosper, it would be a sin to not want to prosper, to want to stay poor. I want God to bless me. I want to get self-sufficient. I want to get to where I'm able to give to every good work. According to 2 Corinthians 9 chapter. That's His will for my life, see? And so I want to be sure that I'm believing God and that I'm doing things that'll make that happen. Most people in a church work. Most people have jobs or businesses, whatever. That's a wonderful thing. That's a ministry. That's what keeps it going. Money is what keeps it going in that sense. Of course, we're believing and we're praying and we're confessing. But you know, that believing, praying, and confessing causes favor to come on us, on our jobs and our businesses, and increase comes. Hello. I mean, I can tell you, you know, we're looking now in this church 10 times, close to 10 times the income that we had in 1993 and 1994. But I guarantee you we're doing more than 10 times in missions. Oh, my goodness. We're doing way over 10 times in missions. And way over 10 times in outreaches with television and all that we do, the Hallelujah Night and goodness and the just the assets that we have, the lands and so on and so forth. So as we've given, God's blessed us and we're able to do more and reach further. Our influence in the community has increased. Our ability to reach the community and to be a force for good and a force for the gospel has increased. Our favor has increased in our community. We have more favor in our community than we did back when we were just struggling trying to get our bills paid. We couldn't do anything. Are you with me? We could do a limited amount of things, but we kept believing God to increase us so we could reach more people with the gospel and be a greater influence in our community and the world.
Yes. Amen.
Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. That was God's will for Adam, for the birds, the fowls. That was God's will for Noah and for the animals and the birds that he brought off the ark. And notice the 12th chapter. Drill this in you. You need to get it in you. You need to drive out that thinking that God for some reason wants you poor. He does not want you poor. You may be struggling with it. You may be struggling with your bills. We've all been there. This is not condemnation. But you need to start believing God to give you wisdom, give you favor on your job, give you insight. Are you to get over that? Get past that. Hallelujah. You say, well, I think if I just had enough, you know, if I had a roof on my head and food on my table and clothes on my back, that's about all you can ever ask for. Well, no, what about your neighbor? What about helping somebody else? You got to kick that mentality out of your head, see? Bless my Thor no more. Oh, no, no. We want to be a blessing. We don't want to just be blessed. We want to be a blessing.
Amen.
We want to help others. Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to be a blessing. I don't want to just be blessed. I don't want to just have my needs met. I want God to bless me so I can be a blessing.
Amen.
Praise God. 12th chapter. This is the father of faith, whose children we are, the Bible says in Galatians, if we believe in Jesus. We're all the children of Abraham by faith. 12th chapter, 1st verse. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Why? I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed.
Wow.
Don't even have to add anything to that. I mean, that's pretty plain. It speaks for itself. So what was God's will for Adam? Be fruitful, multiply, be blessed. God's will for Noah? Be fruitful, multiply, be blessed. God's will for his creation, birds, animals, be fruitful, multiply. God's will for Abraham still hadn't changed.
Yeah.
Still the same. Be blessed. He didn't tell Abraham, go out there, Abraham, you know, I'm going to make you the poorest man you've ever been. You're going to lose everything you got, but just know this, I'll still be with you. I'm going to put you in my service, and I don't pay well, and you'll probably lose everything you have, and people make fun of you, but just know this, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Did he say that? That's not what he said. He said, I'll bless you. In fact, he said, come over here where I want you, and I will bless you. Meaning that you stay over there where I don't want you, you're not going to be blessed. But if you allow me to, if you will get in my will, then I will bless you, and I'll make a blessing out of you, and I'm telling you, in you all nations of the earth will be blessed. You get right, and I'll bless you. It is God's will to bless you as you get right with Him and obey Him. And of course, Abraham did, and we know the story. In fact, really, notice 13th chapter. Look at this. 13th chapter says, second verse, Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. Exceedingly abundantly. He was very rich. Everybody say, very rich.
Very rich.
You know, I think Abraham, if you just did a study on Abraham, in the 14th chapter, he sent 318 of his trained servants to go and recover his nephew Lot, who had been captured in a battle. And he went and got Lot and recovered him and all the goods and all the spoil and all the people, with 318 trained men who were born in his house. Did you ever figure? You ever think about that? You ever put that on paper? Let's think about this a minute. How blessed was Abraham? He had 318 trained servants trained for war, so they had to be 20 years up, you know. Born in his own house, so they had parents. And I'm sure they had brothers and sisters, some that weren't old enough to go out for battle and for war. Some of them probably had wives. Hello. And some of them probably had children too. 318, that was just the trained men for war. Not counting their brothers and sisters. Not counting their parents. And they were servants of his household. And that was his entourage. He carried them around with him where he went. How many people was that? Well, if you just, you know, conservatively, it's got to be around 2,000. Just conservatively, if you just figure parents and brothers and sisters and wives and possible children they had. And he fed them and he clothed them and he took care of them. And he was very rich in gold and silver and cattle. You ever think about that? I mean, see, there's no way you can have 318 trained men in your household. You say, well, I hired them. No, it says they were trained men and it says they were born in this house. Wow. I mean, that just staggers my mind. We don't usually think that way. We read the stories. We hear about Abraham. We hear about how he was ready for war. He had trained servants. They were trained for war. And you know, Abraham was prepared now. You have to admit, Abraham was ready. He was prepared. But he had all these people. Wow. Plus their families. Because as far as I know, you can't be born without parents. Hello. It wasn't much different back then, people. Come on, stay with me here. So they had to have parents. And you know, they didn't just all give birth to warriors. So you had children, you had women, and then a lot of them were married. Oh, well, just think about it. He was pretty blessed. He was pretty blessed. And that was God's will for him to be blessed. And that was good. And it even tells you he was rich in cattle and gold and silver and all those kinds of things. Now, turn to the 16th chapter. Y'all learning something? I'm just, you know, I know we're going through a lot of scripture, but I just want you to go through this and let this burn in your brain. You need to knock out some of those concepts that you've got and I've got, you know, about poverty. That's not in the Bible. The Bible talks about poverty, sure, but it's not a good thing. He doesn't call it a good thing. He tells us to give to the poor because it's not good. And giving is good. And helping the poor is good. Hello? So what about you? What about where you are? See, you ought to be praying and believing God to give you ideas, to give you favor. And you ought to be a great worker and a great, if you own a business, an owner of a business, or if you're investing, a great investor. You ought to believe God to give you wisdom, give you favor, give you strength. Hallelujah. You ought to believe for those raises and those promotions and those sales or whatever it is that you're involved in. If you're selling, believe God that those things will sell. You know, Fran's grandson, he was at the door catching everybody coming in here. You want to buy some cookie dough?
Yeah.
That boy's going to make some money when he grows up, I can tell you that. He was walking up to everybody. He had me. I got out of the car. I pulled in, got out of the car, and he stuck his head out one of those doors and hollered at me. He says, "Hey, you want to buy some cookie dough?" I just pulled up. He wanted to make sure he didn't miss me because I wasn't going in that door, you know. Well, we ought to go to work in faith. We ought to go work our business in faith. Believing God. Oh, hallelujah. Remember Hagar?
Yeah.
Hagar was an Egyptian handmaid that Abraham and Sarah had picked up while they were in Egypt. Caused all kinds of trouble. Out of Hagar came Ishmael. Out of Ishmael came the whole Arab world as we know it. Or we might say the Islamic world, the Muslim world. That was when Abraham got in the flesh. It was a costly mistake. Just as blessed as we are through Abraham by his faith in God, we're paying for his sin also. Hello? Think about that. Because it has repercussions. But at any rate, even though Hagar, it wasn't her fault, she didn't do anything. She was just obeying her handmaid, obeying Sarah. She was Sarah's handmaid. And she was just obeying Sarah and going to Abraham and having that child. It wasn't her fault. And Sarah got upset and told her to leave and go out in the wilderness. And an angel appeared to her and said, "It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you." And actually, they took Hagar back in and raised Ishmael. But notice this, 9th verse, 16th chapter. "The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Hagar, return to your mistress and submit yourselves under her hand.' Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude.'" God's will, still the same. Even for Hagar, it was still multiplication. Y'all see that? He still didn't want her to be cursed or be impoverished or be poor. He still wanted her to be blessed because that's God's will.
Amen.
Notice 17th chapter, first verse. God reiterates this with Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, now get the picture. Abram had gone on to Hagar and had Ishmael at the age of 86. He was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. It appears from the text, if you read this, that God didn't speak to him for 13 years. Costly mistake, wasn't it? But when he was 99 years old, God spoke to him. By this time, Ishmael was 13. Ishmael was 14 when Isaac was born. But it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Get in my will. Do what I want you to do. You've been going your own way here. You got in the flesh on this thing. I want you to obey me. I want you to walk in my will before me and blameless." And what will happen when you do that? Second verse. Hadn't changed. God's will still the same. "And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Abram, I've never changed my will for your life. You changed. I never walked away. You walked away. Now you walk before me and you be blameless and my will hadn't changed. I want to bless you. Y'all see that?
Amen.
He says, "Between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly." And he did that. In fact, the 20th verse knows it. "As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. And I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly, and he shall beget 12 princes, and I'll make him a great nation." I mean, this is so redundant. It's just over and over and over. Has God changed his mind all of a sudden? For hundreds of years, centuries here, he was the same in his will. 22nd chapter. I hope y'all write notes. I hope you're underlining, highlighting. I hope it's getting inside of you. I hope it's just knocking that junk out of you, because really the Scripture will do that. It'll straighten out your thinking about this thing. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. It's His will to bless you. It is a command to go out there and be blessed. So we need to line ourselves up with it. Amen?
Amen.
And get that poverty thinking out of our head and get that prosperity thinking in our head. God is into prosperity. He really is. Now, he's not into greed and lust and so on and so forth. He's talking about walking holy before him and being blameless before him and getting in his will. But his design, his original intent, has never changed. He still wants to make you the best you can be. In fact, that's what happens when you get saved. You get lined up. You get in position now to get blessed. You're meant to serve him and live forever. And until you accept Jesus, you won't. You'll go to hell instead of heaven. And so as soon as you accept Jesus, you got the greatest blessing you'll ever get right there. But then he wants to change the rest of your life also. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your business. He wants to bless your body. He wants to multiply you. He wants you to be fruitful. And don't fight that in your mind and in your thinking. Sometimes we just fight that. We just feel like some reason it's just not right. I shouldn't have something because the Scripture says money is the root of all evil. No, it doesn't. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, not the having of it. Who's the richest man in the Bible? Solomon. Who gave him his riches? God did. Woo. Yeah, but look what happened to him. Wasn't the money. No, it wasn't that money. It was all those women. Come on. Now stay with me. That's nothing against women, but it just wasn't God's will to have 300 wives and 700 concubines. And what he did, he made political marriages, and he married those women and brought in their gods and built temples for them. That's where he missed it. He didn't miss it with the money. God blessed them with the money. Well, look what it did to Solomon. Well, the money didn't do that to Solomon. Come on now, that's not... Listen, money does not make anybody corrupt or evil. You know what money does? It reveals who you are. And if your heart's right and you love God, you're not going to do the wrong thing with money. You'll do the right thing with it.
Amen.
You say, well, money will just ruin many of people. I know people don't have any money, just as wicked as a snake. What are you talking about? Crooked and wicked? They don't have anything. I mean, you give money to someone that's crooked and wicked, yeah, they're going to be a mess. But you give money to someone who loves God and serving God, they're going to be blessed.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
See, it doesn't do anything to us. It may reveal who we are, but that's an attitude we need to deal with. That's not the money.
Right.
Money has no power in that respect. Think about it.
Amen.
Money is a tool. You can use it for good or for bad.
Yeah.
So, this is good. That's good stuff. This is better preaching y'all already amen. 22nd chapter of Genesis. Notice what it says here in the 15th verse. God speaking to Abraham again. The angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. And that's when he took Isaac up and offered him to the Lord, and God stopped him. Because you've done this thing, have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Oh, glory. God never changed his mind. It's still the same. His intent was still the same. 26th chapter. See, this just goes on and on and on. I know you're thinking you're going on and on, but stay with me. I'm getting it in you. Y'all getting this? Is this getting in you? Okay. 26th chapter. Notice this. First verse. This is Isaac now, Abraham's son. Then was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Everybody say famine.
Famine.
But see, feast or famine, it doesn't matter. God's still the same. You say, how am I going to make it in the famine? Believe God and trust God, and you can make it in famine. What about the economy? It doesn't matter about the economy. You can trust God. If you can learn to trust God, you can prosper when everybody else is going under. And you can help some of them make it. You can spare and save some people and bless some people in the time of trouble. Well, it says, famine was in the land. In the days of Abraham and Isaac went and... And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Because that's what they do. You know, when things go bad, they go to Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin or the world. That's kind of what we do. When things go bad, we go to the world. Well, all we're going to do there is make it worse. Go the world's way, the world system, make compromises. Hello, because we can't seem to make it. It's not working, so we get in sin. So when famine would hit, you'd see that cycle in the Old Testament. They would go down to Egypt and they would get in sin. They always pick up something there. Abraham picked up Hagar. Hello. And you saw how much trouble that gave us. Well, here he said, don't go down to Egypt. I know you're fixing to go there. I can see it in your eyes, Isaac. You're going to do what your daddy did. You're fixing to go to Egypt. Don't go there. Are you with me? Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I'll be with you, and I'll bless you. For to you and your descendants I'll give all the lands, and I will perform the oath which I swear to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Woo! Isn't that good? And he did that, and the Bible says God blessed him. In fact, he dug several wells, and he redug some wells and hit water. And God blessed Isaac. Why? Because he got in his will. That was his will, was to bless him. In fact, look at the... We're still in the 26th chapter. In the 24th verse. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you. I will multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. I mean, I don't know how you can read through this and not get this. I don't see how you can. If you just casually read through Genesis, you're going to see God's intent. What God wants you to be. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants to multiply you. That is His will, unequivocally. It is not God's will that you go under. It is not God's will that you be poor. It is not God's will that you do without. Don't think that, because that's not God's will. You're going to have some struggles, we all do. You're going to have times of temptation, testing. The devil's going to come. But you need to stand firm in those times. Believe God. Stand in faith. Are you with me? Ask God for wisdom to give you wisdom in times like that. And you pursue the goal and the dream. You pursue it. Because it is the will of God to be fruitful and to multiply. So we see Adam. We see Noah. We see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Well, I mean, not Jacob. We're getting into Jacob. Ishmael, Hagar. The will of God is still the same. And the intent's still the same in every case. Turn over to the 28th chapter. 28th chapter, first verse. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. What did he do? He blessed Jacob because that's God's will. That's what you do with your children. God blessed him, so he's going to bless his children. And he blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. And take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Third verse. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham, that you and your descendants with you, that they may inherit, or you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Now that's what he's telling his children. But notice what he did not say. Now, I'm going to tell you, Jacob, right now, in life, you're going to have to take the good and you're going to have to take the bad. And you just might as well get used to it. And you might have a roof on your head and clothes on your back. If you got that, you're a blessed man. That's all you never expect in life. Hello? I don't know what your plight in life is, but whatever God dishes out, you take it and you play the hand that God deals you. It may be poverty. It may be wealth. Who knows what the Lord will do? You don't find that kind of talk in the Bible. That sounds so wise, so country wise. Are you with me? And many of us heard that in our lives, that that's just what life is. It's just, it's a mixed bag of all kinds of things. Well, life may be that way, but God's not that way. I would agree that life many times is that way. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's the Lord God, and He changes not. And when He talked about what He wanted for His children, it was always the same thing. And when His people talked to their children, laid hands on them and prayed for them, they prayed the blessing of God on them. Woo! I mean, it's very plain. He said, may God Almighty bless you. and make you fruitful and multiply you.
Amen.
Oh, man. 35th chapter. Okay, I'm kind of winding this up. Don't stay with me. 35th chapter. You know, you hear this enough, it'll clean your brain out. Some people accuse us of getting, come down here and getting brainwashed, but that's true. We are getting our brains washed. They're so filthy and dirty, we need to get them washed out.
Amen.
Hello. With the truth. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
With the word. With the scripture.
Amen.
If anything Genesis is, it is the book of beginnings. It gives us the original intent. It is the first book of the Bible. It tells us what God's will is. It tells us how He made everything and what He intended everything to be. From there on, it gets messed up. But that wasn't God's will. This is what God wanted. This is how God made it. And when He made everything, He made it good.
Amen.
And even when man messed up, God tried to pull him back around. And He could only do it if they would come to Him and obey Him and walk holy and walk blameless. But if they would do that, He would restore to them His original intent, His original purpose, which was multiply, be fruitful, be blessed. And that's the will of God for every Christian. Every single Christian, God's will is that you prosper and that you multiply. Every single one of us. It doesn't mean we're all going to be millionaires, but it does mean God wants to bless us. He wants to bless our endeavors and bless the work of our hand. And all you got to do is read the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy to get that. Deuteronomy 28 chapter to get that. It says He'll bless the work of your hand. Now, obviously, we got to do something. We got to pursue this thing. It's not just a promise. It's a promise that He will bring it to pass if we line up with Him.
Yeah.
Are you with me? It's not a promise it'll just come on us. It'll come on us if we pursue it. It'll come on us if we pray it. It'll come on us if we act it out.
Mm-hmm.
If we put our hand to the plow. Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. 35th chapter. 9th verse. Then God appeared to Jacob. Now we're down to Jacob. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob, your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. Well, God's really hung up on this, isn't He? Well, you know, when you're right, you don't have to change. You only have to adjust and change when you don't get it right the first time. But you know something about God? He never changes because He never gets it wrong.
Yeah.
He got it right the first time. When He made everything, He told it to be fruitful and multiply, He got it right.
Yeah.
And we're the ones who messed it up, or sin messed it up, or the earth's a mess, but God's will is still the same.
Yeah.
And so He keeps saying the same thing because He's not going to change. See, that's one thing about God. For God to change, He'd have to get worse or become less, because He's as good as it gets.
Good.
You don't get any better than God. God's as good as it gets.
Amen.
He's as right as right. You can't get any more right than God.
Amen.
So for God to change, He'd have to be wrong or be bad, because He can't get any gooder.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? He's the Lord God. He changes not. He just doesn't change. He can't. He can't change, because He doesn't get any better than God. There's no new, improved God. There's no better God. They're just God, and that's as good as it gets. And that's good. Amen. So He says to him, He says, 11th verse, 35th chapter, also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you. And to your descendants after you, I give this land. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay, two more real quick and I'll close this out. There's just not enough time. 48th chapter. Turn to Genesis 48. And then I'm going to go to Psalms and we'll close out. Y'all do believe me, don't you? Okay. Genesis 48. Notice the third verse. Then Jacob said to Joseph. Now we're talking about Joseph. Y'all catching a pattern here? I'm seeing a pattern here. Aren't y'all seeing a pattern? I mean, how can you not see the pattern? It's just the same thing every time. Now, Third verse. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. Then he goes on and talks about Joseph's two sons and how that's coming on them. But the point being is, you know, Jacob was reminding Joseph now. He was passing this on from generation to generation. I don't know what we've passed on to our children. I don't know what was passed on to you from your parents. And I'm not saying anything against them if you did hear the wrong thing. This is kind of an idea that it's crept in the church over the years that there's something pious, holy about being poor. But there's nothing in the Bible that says that. Are you with me? And we've repeated that, you know, over and over. We've even told our children not to expect too much out of life and just get a job and pay your bills, and that's about it. But see, that's not what God says. And that's not what the people of the Bible passed on to their children. You know, is there any coincidence, if you think about this, why the Jews seem like they're always blessed everywhere they go and all their businesses, and they seem like they own all the banks and everything? You know why that is? Because they live out of this. They actually teach their children what's in the Bible. And they teach their children there's nothing wrong with money, that money's good, that go out and get it. It's a wonderful thing to prosper. Use it right. They're not telling them to use it wrong. They're saying use it right. But God wants to bless you. And then we step back as Christians sometimes and look at the Jews and say, boy, I'm telling you what, they got all the money, we're running everything. Well, I wonder why. They're using biblical principles. They were teaching their children that they should make money. And we're telling our children that not to expect too much out of life. And that's not what you see passed on in the scripture from father to son, father to son, father to son, father to son. Now, Psalms 115, I'll close out. Increase and multiply. Everybody say increase.
Increase
and multiply. Okay, Psalms 115. And we don't have time to finish the message. I want to get in the New Testament, but, you know, we'd be here a couple more weeks. I think that's enough to establish a pattern, don't you think? Was that enough scriptures, enough example to make the point? Can y'all see the point? God hadn't changed. His will's still the same. The way he made everything is his intent and purpose for everything. He made everything good and to multiply and be fruitful. That's why he made everything. That's what he told everything, man included. Noah reiterated it. I mean, reiterated with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, on and on and on and on. And here in Psalms 115, the 12th verse, says, the Lord has been mindful of us. Well, what does God think about us? That's a good question. I mean, we know what he thinks about Abraham. We know what he had to say about Adam, Noah, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, birds, fish, animals. Well, the Lord's been mindful of us. 12th verse. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. It doesn't matter who they are. If they fear God, it doesn't matter how small or great, God will bless them. That's his will. Next verse. May the Lord give you increase, more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we know how he made it, and we know why he made it. And he made us for the same reason. To bless us, to be fruitful, to multiply. Ooh, hallelujah. What does he think about my destiny? My destiny, my future. He thinks it ought to be blessed. He thinks it ought to multiply. Maybe you're not thinking that way, but that's the way the Lord thinks about it. And that's what God wants to do for you and to you. So change your thinking, because God's not going to change his. All you're going to do is just miss out. God's going to remain the same. He always has been. He always will be. He wants you blessed. He wants to increase you and multiply you more and more. You and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth.